Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Democratic caucus isn't really digging Nancy Pelosi's non-impeachment stance. Here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I think that we know what we need to do. I personally believe that I think we have to move forward.
So she's talking about impeachment there, and she and a lot of other Democrats seem to be in the background in closed door meetings with their caucus, with Nancy Pelosi pushing her in the direction of refocusing on impeachment. And here to talk about that with us today, the National Press Secretary at the RNC, Blair Ellis. Blair, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's good to speak with you.
A pleasure is all mine. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
Absolutely. So Nancy Pelosi has come out and basically said that the president is daring them to impeach him. And she's kind of backed off of this, tried to take the focus of the Democratic caucus and move it in a different direction. But that doesn't seem to be too, you know, agreed upon with all the Democrats in the House. What's she going to do here?
It certainly is not agreed upon. And it's funny that it's starting to kind of come to light. Pelosi has been out there for the last several months talking about how a majority of House Democrats don't want to impeach Trump, that that is not the path that they are pursuing, that was never going to be what Democrats would do, you know, when they came into power. And yet here we are months into their reign, their tenure, and all they've done is move and hustle with investigation after investigation. And I think at this point it's clear that she is really starting to face some intense pressure from her liberal base to do otherwise. There's a lot of disagreement in the Democrat caucus. There's members within her own leadership that are in disagreement about whether to proceed with impeachment. And there's even some divide among different committee chairs, Mr. Nadler being one of them. So she's really caught between a rock and a hard place. And we over here at the RNC are not mad about it, because we know at the end of the day, the Republicans, the American people generally, would love to see Democrats spin their wheels on something as silly and baseless as impeachment while we continue to work for them on their behalf.
What do you think about the committee led by Jerry Nadler really pushing this lack of testimony given by McGahn as another instance of Donald Trump keeping information from the American people and trying to cover up some misdeeds, which, you know, I don't even know what Jerry Nadler would be referring to specifically. I think we have a pretty flushed out Mueller report to look at to find out that this president didn't, you know, try to steal an election from the American people. To me, it seems like these House Democrats are trying to steal the 2016 election from the American people in the midst of moving into 2020. What's Jerry Nadler going for here with this effort?
It's a great question, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, things have really been flushed out. It's really the Democrats at this point that are just kind of trying to spin their wheels, you know, just to keep this Mueller narrative going. All of this really stems back from the fact that the Mueller report did not deliver the outcome, the results that they were hoping for. There was no obstruction of justice. There was no collusion, and it's sad to see that Democrats have nothing else they want to work on or focus on, and so the only target in their eye at this point is focused on Trump, and it's focused on, you know, trying to dismantle the White House and bring them down, when instead, as the majority in the House, they should be proposing policies that are going to be helping and uplifting the American people, and yet all we see them doing is trying to divide and kind of conquer this White House and specifically undercut Mr. Trump, simply because they just dislike and disagree with that Mueller report findings. And it just makes you wonder if they're getting out and they're talking to the American people, which clearly they're not, because if they would start doing so, they'd start hearing what it is the American people are looking for, are hoping for, and what they're wanting is results. And they're wanting Democrats to reach across the aisle and join hands with the Republicans and get something productive accomplished. Instead, though, Republicans are on their own, and we're not afraid of that. We're not afraid to work on our own, but it'd be nice if we would have some Democrats who'd be willing to come to the table and join us.
Yeah, let's listen to one of these 2020 Democratic candidates speak and kind of weigh in on how he thinks President Trump is going to handle his campaign.
Yo creo que quizás el presidente no sé cómo manejar esta situación de Mayor Pete. I think the president just doesn't quite know what to do with me.
So Mayor Pete thinks that he's just, you know, this enigma for President Trump, and that President Trump doesn't know really how to handle a competitor like Mayor Pete Buttigieg. What do you think at the RNC about Mayor Pete and Trump's ability to, in his words, handle him?
I think that nobody should underestimate President Trump and candidate Trump. He is unstoppable. I think there were a lot of people that wrote him off back in 2016 leading up to that election, and we saw what happened. He came and defeated the unconquerable, the Hillary Clinton, that nobody thought could be defeated. And I think since President Trump's been in office, he's let his record speak for him. He's not left his foot off the gas. He's hit the ground running. He has delivered time and time again on promises, whether it's tax reform, whether it's working to tackle the immigration problem at our border by creating a wall, creating a border barrier. At this point, we continue to see some record economic successes. We saw a Gallup poll today that shows 7 in 10 Americans feel great about the direction that our economy is moving and our country is going. Optimism is at an all-time high since 2000. So people feel good about the results they're seeing because of President Trump. And whether you're Pete Buttigieg or, you know, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, any of those Dems in the 2020 field, they need to have their game face on, because President Trump's record of accomplishments and record of success overwhelmingly speaks well for what the American people are asking for and wanting.
We're speaking with Blair Ellis, the National Press Secretary at the RNC. I'd imagine at the RNC, you guys have access to a myriad of polls and statistics and numbers, and you could probably just, you know, go for days and days and days and just crunch numbers until you're blue in the face, or red in the face, I guess. but we see if you watch cable news and you read the articles that come across your Twitter feeds and your Facebook feeds, there's a poll to justify anybody's thought about anything at any time. And we hear Joe Biden's got a big lead on President Trump, and you see how the candidates on the 2020 Democratic nominee side, they seem to be jumping and, you know, oh, Pete Buttigieg is the big thing. Bernie Sanders is the big thing. Joe Biden's the big thing. And this continues to happen. But there's still that threat now that Joe Biden is really a great, formidable competitor, according to some polls, to Donald Trump. Now, in 2016, the polls were a joke. They were laughable, at least the ones that us folks here on the other side of the TV screen got to partake in. At the RNC, when you're crunching all these numbers and you're looking at the data that you have, how do you feel about the polls that the American people are served up from a variety of different media sources every day?
So I think if there's, and you kind of you already spoke to this, but if there's one thing that we learned from the last 2016 presidential election, it's that polls aren't always right, and that polls are to a certain degree helpful. But what really matters is having a pulse on the American people and having a pulse on what matters to them. It's being in touch with them. It's talking to them. You can't just rely on polling nowadays to have those substantive conversations and discussions for you. And that is where I think the RNC, the Republican Party at large, takes laps around what the DNC and the Democrats are doing, because we have this permanent field program in place that we've had in place since 2012. We've got people on the ground in these communities that have a constant pulse on what the American people are thinking, what their concerns are, what they need, what they feel like should or should not be prioritized. And lucky for us, we have a president that believes in our ground game, believes in the Republican National Committee's infrastructure, and relies on us to really make sure that he himself and his own conversations and coordination with us can constantly be in tune with what's going on in the American people's minds. And so we don't place a lot of credence in polls, especially this far out, but what we place a lot of weight and priority in is the actual conversations that we have with people across this country and those that the president is having himself. That is what drives our decision making over here.
Do you think that we can look at polls and then we can look at rallies and we can look at Pennsylvania and see how many people show up there, any place that he goes? I went to the one that was in Granite City when he came here, and they were firing up the furnaces at the steel mill in Granite City, Illinois. And I talked to a lot of people who are steel workers, and I would say to them, can I put you on video and talk to you? And they're all like, no. and they're like, but I love my president. So these are individuals who are would talk to me like face to face, but they didn't want a record of that. But they're out there to see the president, so excited to see the president. We see that in Pennsylvania. We see it at these other places. Have you gone to these rallies at all? Or do you have an indication of crowd size and how this compares to the support that other candidates have?
I have been to rallies. They are they are electric. There's nothing like experiencing that firsthand. And you're right, there are people that go to these rallies to hear directly, straight from the president himself. They don't want to hear things filtered through the media back out to them. They don't want to have to read about it, you know, in the newspaper the next morning by a third party. They want to hear directly from their commander in chief. And I think that's a big driving point that people go. President Trump knows how to fire up a crowd, knows how to make people excited. And what we saw last night was a lot of enthusiasm in Pennsylvania. And I think that that is a testament to President Trump's economic successes and his record of success in that state. We've seen over 135,000 jobs added, created in Pennsylvania. We've seen over 5,000 manufacturing jobs have been created in Pennsylvania since Trump took office. Meanwhile, under Obama's watch, Pennsylvania lost 51,000 manufacturing jobs. We've seen U.S. steel companies announce plans to invest in Pennsylvania. So we've really seen a turnaround in that state. And I think that when you talk to Pennsylvanians, they're ready. They're ready to reelect President Trump because they see what he's done and what he's accomplished for them in their state.
Well, we're going to continue to watch these rallies and listen to what the president has to say, as well as the people challenging him on the other side. But it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Blair Ellis, the national press secretary at the RNC. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yep, we'll be in touch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.